The Word of God from the book of Acts in the fifth chapter, beginning in verse 18 and going through verse 29. And we are talking here about a time period in the early church, a time of the apostles and the disciples after Jesus had left the earth. Verse 18. They arrested the apostles and put them in the public jail. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. "Go stand in the temple courts," he said, "and tell the people the full message of this new life." At daybreak, they entered the temple courts as they had been told and began to teach the people. When the high priest and his associates arrived, they called together the Sanhedrin, the full assembly of the elders of Israel, and sent to the jail for the apostles. But on arriving at the jail, the officers did not find them there. So they went back and reported, "We found the jail securely locked, with the guards standing at the doors, but when we opened them, we found no one inside." On hearing this report, the captain of the temple guard and the chief priests were puzzled, wondering what would come of this. Then someone came and said, "Look, the men you put in jail are standing in the temple courts teaching the people." At that, the captain went with his officers and brought the apostles. They did not use force because they feared that the people would stone them. Having brought the apostles, they made them appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. "We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name," he said. "Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teachings and are determined to make us guilty of this man Jesus' blood." Peter and the other apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than men." May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. We want you who are listening to know what we believe here at Daleville Christian Church, and this statement of our faith is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5 in God's Word, verses 18 through 21. God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This is the Sunday before July 4th, Independence Day, the birthday of our nation. So today we celebrate our freedoms. So I'm going to tell a joke today because I can tell it. I can tell this joke because I tell it without fear of recrimination or prosecution. So here we go. How many members of the United States Congress does it take to screw in a light bulb? How many members of the United States Congress does it take to screw in a light bulb? The answer is two, usually one from each party. It takes two of them. One of them assures the public that everything possible is being done about the problems of the recent darkness. And he says that while the other one screws the light bulb into a water faucet. As has been mentioned a few times, when we look at the book of Acts, Luke is the author. Luke has written this all down to create an orderly account, which is what he says in the beginning of his gospel book, called the Book of Luke. Luke, in the book of Acts, is also trying to answer some questions about Jesus trying to answer some questions about the apostles and trying to answer some questions about the message that the apostles shared early on in the church's life. Luke wants us all to be grounded in the firm understanding of events. Some of the events we still acknowledge today, events we recognize and events we celebrate. For example, Jesus's ascension into heaven, which we celebrated here at Daleville Christian Church a few weeks ago. And then Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit and what we call the birthday of the church. Luke also wants to answer bigger questions, like whether faith in Jesus is illegal or unlawful. Because you see, most people in the apostles' time and in the communities in which the believers lived all over the ancient world, most people probably knew about the apostles' multiple arrests and their jail time and the disruptions that sometimes occurred when they entered towns or cities. And so questions would arise. Why? Why are the disciples of Jesus arrested? Why are the disciples of Jesus put in jail? Why do people say they are a threat to the peace of the town? Why do others say that the followers of Jesus are troublemakers? I'll give you the short answer to that question. It's the answer that Luke gives, and it's the answer that Luke uses the entire book of Acts to answer. And the short answer to the question is, why do others say that the followers of Jesus are troublemakers? The short answer is, there is no good reason. There is no good reason for the disciples to be arrested. There is no good reason for the disciples to be put in jail. In today's reading, Luke only mentioned in chapter 4 that the Jewish officials, verse 2 and 3, were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John. Because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. So the reason the disciples were seized was what again now? They were speaking about Jesus. Later in the same chapter, the Jewish officials tell the apostles they may not speak in Jesus' name anymore. So in chapter 4, verse 17, Luke says the Jewish officials were jealous. Well, you and I know making someone jealous is not a crime. Later in the book of Acts, there were disturbances in Greek cities. There were disturbances near Greek temples, pagan houses of worship. What was the problem? Well, people listened to the apostles and they stopped going to the temples because the apostles said that those temple gods were not real. The apostles said that Jesus' God was the only real God. Well, come to find out that it isn't a crime to give up pagan temple worship. It isn't a crime to give up pagan temple worship. It isn't a crime under the ancient Roman rule to change your religion. It isn't a crime under the ancient Roman rule to change your religion. There are no Roman laws against changing religions. So why are the apostles arrested and jailed? No good reason. Now, several reasons Luke shares in the book of Acts: jealousy. They're put in jail because of envy or anger. One time, somebody lost their income. We saw this last week with the girl with a gift of fortune-telling. Paul put a stop to the girl's fortune-telling. The girl was a slave, and the slave owner started to lose money. The slave owners immediately went to the authorities saying, "Paul and his party are disturbing the peace." So why were the apostles arrested and jailed? Answer, no good reason. The followers of Jesus are not criminals. The followers of Jesus have not done anything wrong. And that all adds up to one thing. The followers of Jesus are being persecuted. The followers of Jesus are being harassed. The followers of Jesus are victims of wrongful prosecution, we would say. That is called malicious prosecution. Today, we might even say they were victims of a frivolous lawsuit. The apostles are victims of defamation of character. The Christians were victims of libel. We might even say that the apostles were victims of bullying. At one point, Luke described the reasons for the persecutions as a difference of opinion on theology. At one point, Luke described the reasons for the persecutions as simply a difference of opinion on theology. The leaders of the Jews and the apostles disagreed about Jesus and who Jesus is. That's it. It's not against the law. This is all happening for no good reason. You see, our pilgrim forefathers who came to Massachusetts, who we only remember at Thanksgiving, they came to these American shores to escape this same kind of harassment that the apostles and disciples were experiencing. Our pilgrim forefathers and foremothers left European countries to live free in America, free to worship God as they saw fit. A generation later, our patriot forefathers in the American colonies resisted the British Stamp Act. Few of us know that one of the documents that the hated British stamp was required upon was the pastor's sermon. Yes, a tax on sermons. Hey, it was bad enough to have to listen to that sermon, right? Let alone pay taxes on it. A tax on sermons is a tax on your religious freedom. Well, our pilgrim forefathers had the possibility of leaving their countries, and they did. Although I can tell you that leaving their countries was not easy. Some were arrested for trying to leave the country. Others lost their homes and their possessions for trying to leave their country. A generation later, our patriot forefathers, once the colonies were established, could protest the hated Stamp Act, and that Stamp Act was lifted. The stamps were done away with. But there were still challenges later to the patriot freedoms, and the patriots had to fight the American War for Independence, the American Revolutionary War. Now, back to the apostles and the disciples. The disciples could not leave the Roman Empire, and the disciples could not protest the authorities. The apostles, the followers of Jesus, decided there wasn't anything to do except to obey God rather than men. This means a couple of things for us in the present day. I know there are people who are worried about the future. Some people are worried about America's future. We may be worried about our freedoms in this country. Maybe we have a reason to be worried. Knowing that the government is listening to our phone calls and using drones to attack individuals in foreign countries, that's troubling. But I'm not going to talk about that now. And here's why. Because long before the Christian faith in this country is restricted, long before it may become taxed or outlawed at any level, long before any of that might happen, what probably will happen is that Christians will be persecuted. We won't be doing anything illegal, but others might protest what we are doing. We might be threatened. There may be attempts to bully us, or there might be attempts to intimidate us, just as the apostles and disciples were bullied. We won't be doing anything illegal, but others of our citizens may try to make life difficult for us. Now, I don't know that that will happen. All I know is that churches have been protested already in this country. Churches have had protesters outside their doors. But we will have to remember the words of the apostles. We must obey God rather than men. I want to paint a picture for you from another author, but let me introduce that picture by reminding you that we have heard a number of stories of people, mostly mountain climbers recently, who have died on the mountain. One woman died a week ago. The beginning of June, 6 mountain climbers died in Washington State climbing a mountain. On April 16th, people in the country of Nepal, where Mount Everest is located, died on the mountain. In such extreme sports, a person has to know how to survive. One key to survival is to know what you are up against. Know the terrain. Know the weather. And what does this have to do with us? What does this have to do with the church? Well, I believe it has a lot to do with the church. If the church is to survive in the 21st century, if the church in America is to survive in the 21st century, the church needs to know what it is up against. The church of the apostles knew what they were up against. They dealt with the dangers. They were led by the Lord to survive. Now, I didn't say the apostles survived. They did not survive. Only the apostle John is said to have lived a long life after Jesus left the earth. The other apostles were all killed, executed, or murdered, all killed for their faith in Jesus. The apostles were all slain. However, the church they founded survived. Hear this. The apostles were all killed, all but one, but the church they started survived. So the church must have known what it was up against way back then. The church survived. The question is, will we survive? Will the church in America survive? People who start churches, they are church planters, not unlike some of the apostles. Here's what they see in America. Church planters see that America is hostile territory for the church. There's a vast spiritual wilderness. And if unprepared, the wild country will eat the church alive. I am in great hopes that you have seen or have some knowledge of the very first Star Wars movie. It came out almost 40 years ago, so please tell me you know something about this film. And the reason is because the description of that world so long ago and far away is much like our own for the church. That world is described this way. The evil empire has won. The order of the Jedi Knights has crumbled, and the golden age of the Republic is finished. The only hope of success for the old order Jedi was rebel outposts and underground guerrilla tactics and the reawakening of the Jedi Knights. For the church, the days are over when people were expected to go to church. An age where most people belonged to a church, even if they didn't go. That era is over. An age where people wanted to find a church. That era is over. It is no more. The days are over when people wanted to belong to a church. Anyone who can't make the jump to light speed will be smashed by the shift in cultural forces. We are not going to be able to challenge the evil empire. And I'm not talking about politics here. I'm talking about the forces of light and the forces of darkness. We are not going to be able to challenge them face to face. We're going to have to infiltrate. We don't have legions of Christian soldiers to send to the front in the struggle of good and evil. We can only send a raiding party to liberate those who are being held captive in darkness. We will never get to those being held captive by rolling into town. We can only get to those being held captive by slipping across Satan's border. Satan's borders where Satan holds souls captive. We will have to go to them. They are not going to come to us. We will have to go to them. They are not going to be able to come to us. If we are to liberate those who live in darkness, we will have to be a team of believers dedicated to one purpose, to tell those others they are free in Jesus Christ, that Christ has died for their sins. They are forgiven. They are loved. They have a relationship with the Heavenly Father through Christ. It has been done for them, and they need no longer live in darkness. Friends, we live in a great country, probably the greatest ever in world history. We hope and we pray to keep our very real freedoms. We exercise our freedoms every day here at Daleville Christian. But whether we are ever protested or, God forbid, someday the government turns against us, we must respond as the apostles responded. We must obey God rather than men. Amen.